listeners by the millions have come to recognize these, the opening bars of the Misa Criolla, the first thumps of the Andean bombo or drum, the tonal layers set down by the chorus and the soloists chanting of the Kyrie to the folk rhythms of a Vidala and a Baguala. The famous folk mass written by Argentine pianist-composer Ariel Ramirez made its debut in 1964 on a Phillips recording that featured the vocal group Los Fronterizos as soloist, the mixed chorus of the Basilica del Socorro from Buenos Aires, and a small ensemble playing Andean instruments, all under the direction of the composer. Also featured on the record was another Ramirez composition, Navidad Nuestra, Our Christmas, a rendering of the Christmas story with words penned by poet-historian Felix Luna, also set to the rhythms of Argentine folk music. At the time, Phillips executives gambled on this project largely because interest in folk music was on the rise, and an earlier mass inspired by traditional African music, Misa Luba, had met with some success. Still, little could they know that the Misa Criolla would sell 2,000 copies on the first day of its release in November 1964, and 50,000 by the end of that year. Now, over 50 years later, millions of copies of the original recording have been sold, and other versions featuring soloists like José Carreras continue to enthrall fans over the world. With more than 300 compositions to his credit, Ariel Ramirez continued to write music, and he explained, "My mother was Uruguayan of Italian background. She named me Ariel after the famous book by that progressive educator, José Enrique Orodo. Education was a big thing in our family. My father, a schoolteacher, as were all of his 9 siblings, expected me to follow suit. I trained to be a teacher and received my certificate, but in my first job as a 4th-grade teacher in Santa Fe, I lasted 2 days. I couldn't say no to those schemers. I had discipline problems. Music is what I really cared about ever since age 4. My father ran the normal school in Coronda, a small town. We lived over the school, but in a little ground-floor museum, there was a piano. On Sundays, when it was closed, I would sneak in to play the piano amid the embalmed owls, parrots, and bugs. For me, playing was the easiest, most natural thing to do. In those years, tango was the music, but gradually I wanted to know more about the folkloric music of the country. My dad gave me a few pesos to make my way to a little town called Tulumba, outside Cordoba, where I stayed with a friend for nearly a year. One night they had a fiesta and brought out a piano for me. A guitarist also arrived to perform, De Nata. After he had performed, he asked me to play a zamba, but I didn't know one. He said, 'You have to go north,' and I said, 'I'm just a teacher's son. I don't have any money.' The next day, an envelope arrived with a second-class bus ticket and 10 pesos, which was enough to stay 5 days, meals included. There, I met a teacher and musician who took me in his car to nearby Humahuaca, where I ended up spending a year learning regional music, and then another year in Tucumán, and more time in San Juan and Mendoza. Then, one day, I received a note from Don Ata. He was organizing an entertainment called Voces de la Tierra, and that was at a theater in Buenos Aires. When he asked me to participate, I decided to do it, but the show closed a week after it opened because not many porteños were interested in folklore, not in 1943. I stayed on in the capital and found work playing the piano on Radio El Mundo, 200 pesos a month for 8 performances, but the Peronist government bought out the station and demanded employees sign a statement of political loyalty. I was an independent, and my father was an active radicalista, so I was out of a job. At that time, folklore only served as filler. Tango was unbeatable. So I decided to head to Europe with some friends. I bought third-class passage one way to Genoa. I only had $100 left. Basically, I wanted to explore, see, listen. I settled in Rome as part of a little colony of young Argentines that included actors, an architect, painter, and an historian and political activist. We were a family. No one had a peso, but we led a beautiful life. With Rome as home base, Ramirez traveled throughout Europe, giving concerts and musical lectures. Ultimately, what proved most important was a prolonged stay in a small town in southern Germany, where he taught music classes at a school for novice nuns. I didn't speak German, but two Catholic sisters, one Spanish, one Portuguese, would translate what I had to say. I used to eat with them in the kitchen. I remember clearly it was April. I commented on how beautiful the gardens were with the blossoming trees, and they said, "Yes, but you should have seen it here during the war. You wouldn't feel the same way. We suffered terribly." The nuns told one of their clandestine efforts to help those held in a nearby concentration camp. Then and there I said to myself, "I am going to write a work with the theme of those nuns, something very spiritual." That was 1952, just the beginning of an idea that would lead to Misa Criolla. In 1954, Ramirez returned to his homeland to spend time with his family, but because of difficult political and economic conditions, he continued on to Bolivia, then to Peru. I stayed a year. How marvelous. It was there that I really learned the origins of our music. I spent another 6 months in Uruguay. Then, when the government changed to a democracy, I returned to Buenos Aires. In the late 50s, I won a fellowship that permitted me to study musical composition at a more advanced level. It was then that he also met up with his future collaborator, Felix Luna, a lawyer destined for a distinguished career of his own as a diplomat, historian, novelist, and songwriter. "I don't recall exactly when and where I first met Ariel," says Luna. "I know I enjoyed hearing him play his compositions on the piano. We were involved in the Radical Party, and there were these little musical conjuntos. I think it was my idea that we composed some 6 or 7 songs for our presidential candidate. Later, Ariel asked me to write words for a zamba that became A Zamba for You." Then one night, Ariel called to say he had finished what would become his mass, and he said he also needed words for a villancico that would be part of the recording. I went home, and inspired by a little folk retablo or spiritual picture on the wall, I began to write the verses that became Navidad Nuestra. Luna says, "I worked all night, and by 7 the next morning, I had almost everything finished. It was quite miraculous. Normally, it's not that easy." Ariel composed the music afterward, reversing the order of our usual method. All that from an essay titled Ariel Ramirez, High Fidelity for Folk by Caleb Bach in the journal Americas. Navidad Nuestra, or Our Christmas, gives the title to the upcoming holiday concert program to be presented 3 times by the Arcadia Chorale, December 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and Hazleton. Dr. Stephen Thomas is artistic director and conductor, and he paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about this wide-ranging journey.
It is that time of year again. People look to choral music, I think, for the holiday season, and certainly the chorale seeks to not disappoint that every year. And this year we are taking a trip south. We have music from Latin America. The title of our concert this year is Navidad Nuestra, Christmas music from Latin America. So it's most of Central and South America, Mexico and the Caribbean is sort of the area. That's a huge area, actually. There's a tremendous variety of cultures there and wide variety of music. And so, you know, for us to try to take that on and do a sort of a survey is in a way a little ridiculous because it's so much. But I think it's a worthwhile endeavor to try to at least, you know, dig into that a little bit, get to know the music of that area, if you want to call it that, in the huge area. So we're scratching the surface. That's about all we can do. But we are doing that, and we're sampling some of the music from that region. So on the concert, we've got music from Mexico. We've got music from Guatemala. We've got music from Puerto Rico, Trinidad, Venezuela, Chile, and Argentina. So it's a sampling of the countries, the areas in this region. And so they're all different, of course, but they do share, for historical reasons, they do share sort of a common cultural influence, namely Spain. And so actually on the concert, we're not only doing music from, I mean, it's mostly music from these areas from Latin America, but we are also including a few things from Spain, just to kind of illustrate the connections, historical connections, between the music, the old world and the new world, right? So those connections. So maybe I'll start with one piece that I think will be familiar actually to many listeners, which is Rio Rio Chiu. It's a Spanish villancico about the Virgin Mary and the birth of Jesus. And a villancico, for those who don't know, it actually has kind of a long history. It started out as a popular song connected to actually medieval dance forms. So it has goes back a long ways. And it was, for a long time, was sort of secular popular songs. Eventually you got sacred villancicos, and that's what Rio Rio Chiu is a sacred song. And one of the defining features of it is that it's got verses and a refrain. And so the way we're performing it, the verses are sung by a soloist, and then the refrain is sung by the full chorale. It also has percussion accompaniment. We're doing it with tambourine, and it's very rhythmic, and it's a lot of fun. So that's sort of one kind of music from the old world that is relevant for the new world music. And then we're also going to do sort of an old standard of the season, Renaissance choral music, Victoria, Tomás Luis da Victoria, his Omnium Mysterium, which is a traditional Latin text of the season, of the Christmas season. And Victoria was one of the great masters of Renaissance music. He and Palestrina are kind of the twin peaks, in a way, if you want to call it that, of Renaissance choral music. And it's your standard Renaissance imitative polyphony, beautiful in its simplicity, very sophisticated. I mean, lovely, lovely stuff. So we're doing those two pieces, sort of representing the old culture in Spain. And then we also have some music of roughly the same time period, but from the New World. So there's these two composers we're doing, Juan García de Céspedes and Juan Gutiérrez de Padilla. And Padilla actually was born in Spain, but he moved to Mexico. And so at this time, there's actually a flourishing music scene in Mexico. And he went and took over the music at the Puebla Cathedral. And so he's the maestro de capilla, the head of the music there at the chapel. It was a very important position. And a very prolific composer, wrote over 700 pieces. I mean, like, you know, this is a real happening scene in Puebla at the time. And his music, well, the piece of his that we're doing is called Ave Regina Caelorum. And it's again, a Latin motet, very similar in some ways to Victoria. But it's actually more complex than the piece of Victoria's that we're doing. It's eight parts. It's a double choir motet, very sophisticated polyphony, written to be performed at the cathedral in Puebla. So this is, in a way, a sort of a direct transplant. Actually, he was a transplant. He was born in Spain. But the music is very much, you know, drawing on the traditions and forms and styles and so on of Renaissance Spain. And then Juan García de Céspedes, he sang in the choir under Padilla and then ended up taking over from him when the older composer retired. He took over. And so the piece of his that we're doing is called Convidando esta la noche. In some ways, it's more like Rio Rio Chiu, and actually in a lot of ways, because it's also a villancico, sacred villancico. And it's, again, rhythmic. It has these alternations of verses and refrains. And again, we're doing it with the verses sung by soloists and the refrains sung by the full choir. And in this case, though, it's a little bit different because the sections of the verses are done by like a duet or a trio or a quartet. There's actually five soloists. So it kind of builds as the piece goes on. So Rio Rio Chiu is simpler in a way. And this is a little bit more involved in the sense that it kind of builds over the course. You get different pairings of soloists and different trios. And then eventually you end up with all five soloists singing. So it's a sort of an interesting shape to it. But again, very rhythmic. It has percussion. And so I think those kinds of connections will be pretty clear to the listeners at the concert. So we have these two traditions. But then one of the other interesting things that happened in the New World was that some of this traditional music from the Old World started mixing with some of the indigenous traditions that were, you know, there before the Spaniards got there. And so we actually have a piece that represents that as well. There's a composer named Tomas Pascual, who was a native Mayan, and he learned this style. He was a musician and studied the European music tradition. He actually is a little earlier than Padilla, although he was in Guatemala, so different part of the region. But so he wrote some really interesting music, and this piece that we're doing is a piece called Haciendando, and it combines some of the elements of the Spanish Renaissance music, but then it has all these Mayan instruments that are playing along with it. So it's those wind instruments called huilacapitzli, which are like ocarinas. We'll be doing it with recorders because we have to kind of approximate these instruments. Then there's all these percussion instruments. There's something called a huehuero, an ayacashli, a teponatzli. These are essentially a bass drum, a shaker, and then a wooden slip drum. And so again, we're approximating the originals with percussion instruments that we can get. And then there's also these alhajas. These are tuned stones. So they're actually like, you know, you hit the stone and it makes a pitch. And so we've found stones that, you know, that are pitched approximately where we need them to be. And so we have a player who's going to be, you know, hitting these stones and, you know, making this, it's percussion, but it also has a pitch to it. It's pitched percussion. And then also there are deer antlers that are called for. And so we have, you know, we've gotten some deer antlers, not too hard to find in Northeast Pennsylvania. And we have a player who's going to be playing those as a percussion instrument. So it's sort of this visual spectacle in a way, as well as this wonderful, joyful music. It's about the birth of Jesus by Tomas Pascual. And I should mention also, he's also known by his Mayan name. So he had a sort of a Spanish name and a Mayan name. The Mayan name is Mashkin. So interesting mix of cultures there. But we don't stay in the Renaissance. So this, I mean, we have those. They're all kind of from the, you know, the Renaissance period. But we also have music that's more contemporary. And so just briefly, we've got a set of Christmas lullabies composed by Alberto Grau, who is one of the, I mean, he's a terrific composer, very famous composer from Venezuela. Staying in Venezuela for the moment, we have a set of traditional Venezuelan Christmas carols. First one's La Jornada. The second one is Como Busca el Tierno Infante. And the third one is Cantemos. And again, these are things that people who know the Venezuelan Christmas tradition would know. I mean, these are well-known Christmas carols in that tradition. So there may be some people among our audience who will know these pieces, or know the tunes anyway, that they're arranged for chorus. But this is actually, I think, one of the interesting things about this program is it's a way, I mean, we're so used to hearing the same, I don't know, 9 or 10 Christmas carols playing on the radio all season. And so this is something different. I mean, there will be a few things that people will know. Some people may know the Viruchiu. There's a couple other things I'll mention in a minute that people may know. But a lot of this will be unfamiliar, but wonderful music. I mean, so many rich traditions that we're sort of drawing a little bit here and there from that I think people will find very interesting and really very inspiring. So we also have a traditional Christmas carol from Puerto Rico, De Tierra Lejana Venimos, from a distant land. This is one actually that some people may know. I know it's in some hymnals. Not all traditions, but some traditions have taken that and used it, this tune. There's also from Trinidad the carol that I think a lot of people will know, The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy. That's a fun one, and the crowd always enjoys singing that. And then from Chile, we have a set of actually newly composed works. So these are not traditional Christmas carols, but they're Christmas texts set for women's choir by Juan Orrego Salas, who's a composer who was born in Chile. So we go lots of different places, some traditional Christmas carols from these traditions and some newly composed things. And then finally, the work that we named the program after is a piece called Navidad Nuestra, Our Christmas, is a translation of that. And it's by a composer, Argentinian composer named Ariel Ramirez. And he was a composer from Argentina, and he was a collector of folk music. And you can tell that in this piece. So this piece, the Navidad Nuestra, it's a retelling of the Christmas story, and it sets the story in Argentina for something a little different. And it's in 6 movements, and each movement tells a different part of the story. And each movement features a different style of music, and each of the styles are drawn from Argentinian folk music. So the Annunciations, the first movement, uses a dance called the chamamé. The Pilgrimage is called a huella pampeana. Then the third one, the Nativity, features what's called a vidala catamarqueña. The fourth movement is about the shepherds. It's a Shaya Riohana. The Three Kings movement is something called a Takirari. And then the flight is a Videla Tucumana. Now, these are things that most people have no idea what these are. But you can tell when you hear the music that each has a distinct personality. And it's matched to the mood of the story, to the events in this, you know, each particular part of the Christmas story. Sometimes it's joyful, sometimes it's full of wonder, sometimes it's beautifully lyrical, it can be celebratory. Each aspect of the story has kind of different moods to it. I mean, the genius of Ramirez here, the composer, is to find the thing in the folk music that matches this well, and he really lines them up and meshes them, and it's a wonderful composition, justly famous, and it's performed a lot. The Crowell's never done it. But one of the other things about it, besides these styles, what supports that partly is the variety of colors that he uses. I mean, it's the singers, we have soloists and the chorus, but then also there's guitar, there's harpsichord, there's bongos, there's a güiro, there's several different kinds of drums, and there's even appropriate to Christmas, there are jingle bells. So again, he uses appropriate ones in each movement, not everything in every movement, but again, lots of variety and just a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. And it's quite a journey, you know, the whole program is quite a journey, but this piece also is a journey for the musicians and for the audience as well. And I think it's a perfect way to celebrate the season.
Stephen, tell us something a little bit about this impulse of the dance at Christmas time.
Yeah, it does seem to be a feature of it. And there are historical reasons for that, I think, and connections certainly to the Christmas carol tradition. And it's not limited to, I mean, not just the Villancico, of course, is dance, but there are, I think, many, many areas of that. And I'm not sure exactly where that comes from, but I think there's such joy in the dance and in physical movement, and you know, I think whether or not it is actually danced, and certainly sometimes it is and can be, but it certainly evokes that feeling of movement, that feeling of joy, which I think goes hand in hand with the season, and also, you know, it's a great time of year, you know, and I think there's something wonderful about having such celebratory rituals and music, you know, at this time of year that really, it gives people something they really need.
Now tell us where and how we can find you.
Right. Well, actually, we are doing three concerts, which is a departure for us. For a long time, we've been doing two concerts in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. This time, we're extending to Hazleton. So we're doing three. The first one is on Saturday, December 3rd. That is at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton at 7:30 p.m. Sunday is at St. Nicholas Roman Catholic Church in Wilkes-Barre. That's at 3 o'clock p.m. And then on Monday, we're doing a performance in Hazleton at 7:30 at Faith United Church of Christ.
Dr. Stephen Thomas, Artistic Director and Conductor of the Arcadia Chorale, speaking with us in anticipation of three concerts. They'll be presenting December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. The Saturday performance will be held, as Dr. Thomas just said, at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton at 7:30 p.m. Sunday's performance at St. Nicholas Roman Catholic Church in Wilkes-Barre, and that's at 3 in the afternoon. And Monday, December 5th, there will be a performance at Faith United Church of Christ in Hazleton at 7:30 p.m. There will be discounts for seniors and WVIA members, and the performance is free for students. For more information, on the web, arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org. That's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, December 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Navidad Nuestra, and it is a performance of Christmas music from Latin America. That's Saturday at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton at 7:30 p.m., Sunday afternoon, December 4th, at St. Nicholas Church in Wilkes-Barre at 3, and Monday at Faith United Church of Christ in Hazleton at 7:30 p.m. For more information, on the web, arcadiachorale.org. Présteme una tapera para mi niño.